Hello, Northumberland County. This is Reality Realty Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk Show, where we take on, talk about, and interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And on our show today, we will have Dan Bulger, broker of record from Realty Executives Pentel Limited. And Dan and I will be looking at the recent partnering of Coburg's Pentel Realty Limited with Realty Executives. Dan and I will also be looking at the first-time home buyer and the unique concerns facing a first-time home buyer. So, first things first, let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And if we take a look at the listings that have sold over the past month, we've had 86 listings sell in Northumberland County over the past month. And listings for sale, what is our inventory? Well, we have an inventory of 361 listings for sale, residential listings here in Northumberland County. Numbers lower than they've been for almost 10 months. If we take a look now at the real estate market over the past 12 months, and the real estate market, when I say that, let's take a look at what has sold residential-wise over the past 12 months. And those homes that have sold were, on average, listed at approximately $312,000. And their selling price, on average, was $303,000. So the average sale price, successful sales over the past 12 months in Northumberland County, $303,000. So the successful sales, they were receiving approximately 97% of their asking price in a market time of 65 days. So if you're ever asking, how long does it take to sell a home here in Northumberland County? Well, over the past year, the average time has been 65 days. So I use some of this information to calculate an absorption rate, which is basically a ratio of what is available and what is selling. And we presently are in a 24% absorption rate, and that would tell us we are in a seller's market. Anything between 15 and 20% would be a balanced market. Anything below 15 would be a buyer's market, and anything above 20% would be a seller's market. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you'll want this sort of information that's more specific to the area within Northumberland County you're looking at, the property type, or the price band. So talk to your local realtor to understand the Northumberland market, and they will be able to figure out this information and share it with you and tell you how you can use it to your advantage when buying or selling a home. These statistics come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, and I would like to thank Jeanette and Lynn for keeping all us realtors informed and up to date on what's going on. Let's take a look at today's mortgage rates. We have a best 5-year fixed mortgage rate at 2.54% and a best 5-year variable at 2.1%. And today's mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant here in Northumberland County. So if I'm to take a look at points to ponder, what have I been pondering over the past week? And if any of you drive on the 401 towards the Durham region, you'll notice in around Wesleyville, just south of the 401, you'll notice a large solar farm being built there. So it got me pondering about solar farms and their footprint on real estate, not just here in Northumberland County, but just anywhere in Ontario or in Canada or around the world for that matter. This particular one in around Wesleyville, they're building a 10-megawatt, 50,000-solar module solar farm. And they started it in around June of this year, and it's scheduled to end in March of 2016. Now, it's not just me scratching my head as I pass by. There is concern about the agricultural land that these solar farms occupy. And one of the parties that are particularly concerned is the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. Now, there are other options for putting up these solar farms. There's commercial rooftops, which are being used. They show up in that location quite regularly. But I guess the question is, are we using that option enough? And are there other options we could use so that we don't have to use up this valuable agricultural land? Now, there are rules and regulations in place, and part of those rules and regulations comes from the Green Energy Act, which governs this. And the agricultural land soils, they're classed, and they're presently rated in a system in Ontario, and it's through the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, in seven classes, one being the best quality of land, and seven being the lesser quality. Now, at this time, the Green Energy Act presently allows for solar farms to be built on land class from 4 to 7. Land classes from 1 to 3 are protected by the Act, so you cannot build these farms on any agricultural land class 1 to 3. Now, the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, they've been pushing to add Class 4 to this protected land as well. Haven't got to that point yet. Now, keep in mind, all seven classes of this land can be farmed. So, I mean, I don't know if we're thinking of solutions. I'm not rubbing shoulders with the people who make these decisions, but I did do a quick Google search, and I found some of these solar farms, they're building up. The panels seem to be raised a little higher. They're building crops in between the rows of the panels. They're even planting crops under these panels. So obviously there's crops that grow well in partly shaded and shaded areas. I gotta wonder, parking lots. We see all these parking lots. Could we not just possibly cover the parking lots and cover them in solar panels? We would be taking advantage of space that's already being used, and we wouldn't have to change the use. And wouldn't it even be nicer if your vehicle was in a covered spot, not getting boiling hot in the summer and gathering snow and ice in the winter? So, points to ponder. Just curious about this concern of agricultural land being used for all these solar panels. Well, this morning, I would like to introduce my guest. And my guest today is a repeat guest. And my guest today is Dan Bulger, broker of record from Realty Executives Pentel Limited, right here in Coburg. Welcome, Dan, to the show.
Great to be here, Dale. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so I guess you weren't scared away.
No.
Yeah, we have a nice atmosphere here, and it's all about something that pretty much everybody's interested in, real estate. I don't know if you notice this, Dan, when you go to a restaurant, do you find yourself hearing other tables talk about real estate?
All the time, Dale, all the time. And at you as a realtor as well, we probably can't go out walking down the street without somebody stopping and saying, hey, I heard so-and-so selling, or I've heard about this property, and what do you know about this? Always about real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such an investment financially, and it's an investment of our lifestyle, and it means so much. So, yes, and when they say that, some of the times what they heard is true. Some of the times, yep. Yeah. So, Dan, we have had in real estate an amazingly busy 2015. the market has just been crazy wild. We've seen practices like the multiple offer more, I believe, than we've seen in any previous years. So crazy busy 2015. And on top of that, where I used to see a sign on your office that read Pentel Realty Limited, now I see a sign Realty Executives Pentel Limited. You've changed your brokerage name. You've done it in the busiest year we've had in maybe ever, or at least ages. What are you doing, Dan?
Well, you know what? You know, people say, if you want to get things done, always ask or do something in a busy time, right? So over the last really year, my brokerage is usually, because we were an independent at the time, mm-hmm. we usually get approached at least by five different brokerages a year, franchises to, to take on their brand name.
Yes.
And we do. We've always listened to them. And we've always gone through and weighed the pros and cons of each of those brokerages, what they have to offer and mm-hmm. and what we have to offer. And it, was there, would there be a good fit for the philosophies of Carry On Business? And really, and that's been consistent over the last 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And along came Brian Gilmore and Scott Gilmore, who are realty executives, owners regionally in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And they asked if they could speak with us. And what we found very interesting was they weren't just pulling names out of the hat. They did a lot of research before they even picked up the phone to talk to us. Mm-hmm. They knew more about our brokerage and how we ran and how long we've been around and the reputation that we had within our community before they even decided to talk to us.
That's a good sign.
It was a great sign. It was the first time that that ever happened. We would talk to other brokerages and they would come into the room and ask us, "Oh, how long you've been around or whatever." So they did a lot of groundwork, and when we started to talk, we really felt that there was a lot of good synergies. I guess that we had commonalities in terms of what we've done in the past and what we want to accomplish in the future. Both are family operated businesses. Father-son started Realty Executives. My father, Joe, started Pentel Realty. Mm-hmm. So there is a real, it was a good feeling sitting around the table. And it really took almost 8 months for us to come to a conclusion that this would be a positive move for Pentel Realty. And also, I think it was a great move that Realty Executives is coming into Northumberland County.
Well, absolutely. And I guess for me, Dan, I was a little surprised when I noticed the change, because you're a local brokerage, you're family run, you're well established here, and you're doing a lot of business. So can you first tell us maybe a little bit of a history, tell the listeners a little bit of a history on Pentel, when you started, how it all came
Sure.
about?
Well, my father, Joe, has been a realtor for about 30 years, and he started Pentel Realty about just over 20 years ago, probably about 21 years ago, mm-hmm. With a real focus on commercial, industrial investment properties. And I joined him 5 years later in 2000. And what our history was, we weren't even members of the local real estate board at that time. Mm. That's how entrenched my father was in the community. He knew so many people, and so many people knew and respected his advice and his okay. knowledge in real estate that really he was very successful at that time without the MLS system, mm-hmm. without the local real estate board. I came along and said, you know what, hey, this is good. We still operated for about the first 4 years of when I got my license, not members of any organized mm-hmm. real estate boards. So in order for us to really grow, still was doing very well. People knew I was in the business and my father. So we decided, hey, how can we grow this business? And we started talking about, should we start looking at joining the local board mm-hmm. and taking advantage of other opportunities? So we did decide to do that. And again, so that history is, we're not afraid of change and we embrace it. We are always looking at new ways and better ways of doing business in Northumberland with our buyers and sellers.
Right. So yeah, that's and that's really neat that your dad, who already, as you shared, had some success without being part of that board, didn't go around with his blinders on, and you know, listened to his young lad and gave it some consideration, and he became part of the I guess what we would say organized real estate.
That's right.
In this community. So a similar thing has happened here. And once again, you know, being approached many times, and I understand what you mean, that there's always, you know, the selling just doesn't happen at the house. It's happening within the industry itself. And so somebody finally came along and perked your interest. And you were mentioning about, you know, the fact that they came prepared. So they obviously were approaching, not shotgun, but thoughtfully. And there was a, sounds like there was a sense of comfort being a family-run group, and something you and your dad could relate with, I'm sure. What else can you tell us about the Realty Executives?
Well, Realty Executives actually has been around since 1965. It was spawned. There were two partners, and when they decided to part ways, one partner went and started Remax.
Okay.
And Remax, the RE in Remax, actually came from Realty Executives. So that was those two partners went, and the other partner started Realty Executives, and they started it with a different philosophies in way they operated. They were looking to really enhance customer service, client service in terms of high quality education products to their realtors,
mm-hmm.
And really delivering on those. And that's what they've done. Realty Executives is very, very large in Western Canada and also in the U.S. It is in 32 countries right now. I believe there's like 8,000 agents that are affiliated with Realty Executives International. So right now, as of this week, there are just over 500 offices, but in Ontario, it's one of the fastest growing real estate franchises right now. It's growing, and I'm getting all kinds of calls from my colleagues throughout Ontario welcoming me and wanting to do business. And this is where...
Well, that's neat.
This is where we're trying to grow our brokerage. We could have just been very comfortable staying with Pentel, mm-hmm. and operating within the confines of Northumberland. But we're looking at a bigger picture. We're looking at, you know, putting that carrot down the road. Where do we need to be and where do we want to be 5 mm-hmm. years from now? And... We do a lot of commercial industrial investments, and a lot of those contacts come from the West through the GTA, and we were missing some opportunities, and I think mm-hmm. this is going to really, really enhance our business model.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the whole networking aspect, like you say, something that you didn't have in as large a format is what you're having now, and I'm sure that it will interest realtors as well, like you're saying, the educational component that comes along with it. Well, Dan, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan a little bit more about what this means to the Northumberland County and the clients of Pentel, now Realty Executives Pentel, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So you've been listening to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk show, and join us after this break. Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM Reality Realty, and I'm Dale Bryant, and my guest today is Dan Bulger, broker of record with Realty Executives Pentel. So Dan, we were talking a little bit about Pentel, your brokerage, Pentel Realty,
mm-hmm.
and the switch you've made over the summer, the fall? When did it happen?
October 1st, and I just happened to be away over in Europe with my lovely wife celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary when all this occurred.
Okay, so I was talking to you earlier before the show about that. You initiate this large change, and then you go overseas while it's all happening.
Yep. It just forced me to be very, very organized prior to my departure, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I'm sure everybody that was left behind was very grateful for.
I should mention the staff at my office. Matter of fact, Carrie was fantastic in making sure that all the work was done. And I just got a very nice one-liner when I was sitting having a glass of wine in Tuscany saying, "You are now the new owner of Realty Executives Pentel." It was fantastic.
They'd be wondering, how did you pull off that timing with all the, because it's surprising. I mean, I just think for me as a realtor and my own personal marketing and everything that's out there, and it is so woven within, print media, the internet. Now, as a brokerage, I just can't imagine everything I'm sure there's still things that you'd be finding, because we don't even populate everything on the internet. There's third parties that find us and populate it for us. Mm-hmm. Quite a chore.
It sure is, and you're right. We're still finding a few odds and ends, but overall, the transition's been very smooth, and we're very pleased and excited about getting out there and serving our buyers and sellers.
Right, and Dan, is this so you were a standalone brokerage?
Yep.
Is this still a standalone brokerage, or is it one of many in a franchise?
We're independently owned and operated. Okay. So we are. We still make our own decisions, but we have a lot of resources now at our fingertips to enhance our services.
And so, how exactly for your buyers and sellers that have used you in the past and will use you in the future, how can this partnership benefit buyers and sellers?
I think you're still going to get Dan Bolger as a realtor who is, I believe, knowledgeable and an expert in the field of real estate. So we have that. Now I have additional tools and resources that can hopefully bring my buyers and sellers more properties for them to view, to purchase, and also more opportunities for sellers to bring more potential buyers to the table. So we'll be working with our colleagues throughout the province, and not only throughout the province, but throughout the world, because we now have a direct link to many, many different countries with potential buyers coming to Canada.
Right. And it's more than just the real estate services. You also have an in-house mortgage brokerage.
That's correct.
And you can take care of your clients with their financing at the same time as you can with the buying or selling of real estate. So, yeah, really, really good there. I want to ask you, Dan. So you've been the one-off local mortgage, mortgage and real estate brokerage. What's your personal thoughts on the small one-off local brokerage versus the large franchise type brokerages?
That's an interesting question. We've obviously just made a transition, but I truly believe that every good realtor and every good mortgage broker has a niche within their own market. They're going to serve their clients to the best of their ability and with the resources they have. Adding compared to a larger franchise, you're still dealing with individuals, and I think that's the key point. Is that if you want to deal with Dan Bolger or Dale Bryant, you're going to deal with them, and there's maybe a few added resources that come to the table, but the bottom line is you want your realtor and your mortgage agent to do the absolute best job for you. And if you have trust with them, you're going to do business with them.
And And if you are a good realtor, a very good realtor in a very small brokerage, you're still going to do a great job, aren't you?
Absolutely. We weren't looking for this partnership or this joint venture because we were struggling. We've been extremely successful, especially over the last 5 to 7 years. Even through the difficult times, we still excelled, I believe, and have made our buyers and sellers very happy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, even if you're not in the industry, everybody in the community have seen your signs go up and seen your signs with sold. So everybody knows that you were active without it. But I must admit, I was with a small independent family brokerage, and they decided to sell off, and so I was looking around at my options, and I was frustrated a couple times because I lost a listing or two of people saying, "Dale, you know what? We were really impressed with you, but my house, this is a very important sale, and we really need that franchise name behind it." And it was frustrating for me because I knew it didn't really matter, but it didn't make a difference in their sale. It was still going to be the work that I did. And their product, but yet it did influence me when I moved, and I did go to that franchise label, so we didn't have to cross that bridge.
Right?
Yeah.
Perception is everything, isn't it? I truly believe that if people stood back and really, our buyers and sellers, you know, have a look at, you know, we're all licensed with the same license in Ontario. We have access to all the same information. And so as long as we have a great business model and we can deliver, it goes back to, if you're a good realtor, whether you're with a large franchise or an independent, you're going to succeed.
Yes. But I mean, you've crossed that bridge now and you've said, listen, I see some value there as a business, and you're going down that road now, and good for you guys. So how about, you know, something I'm thinking of based on that is, if you weren't in the real estate business, knowing what you know about real estate, if you were no longer in the business and a friend or a family member was to ask you for advice on what to look for in a realtor and or a real estate brokerage, how would you advise them on that, Dan?
The one thing that I think is crucial that makes successful realtors are the very quiet ones who are very, very good listeners. Mm. When paying attention to your buyer or your seller, to their needs, and not imposing what you believe is what they need, I think that's the huge difference. So there are, if somebody's doing more talking to you as a buyer or seller, and not listening, I would say concentrate on somebody who's really listening and responding to your needs, what you're actually saying, you know, what type of, where you want to be, and the ancillary things that go with buying and selling a home.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to be in this business, you absolutely need to be a good listener and even pick up on body language, just the slightest bits of information that are out there. Yeah. Well, Dan, let's take a little bit of a turn here and go from it's your new brokerage, but it's so much the same. It's a little bit of a hybrid. It's the same people, it's the same location, it's just got more resources now and a little bit more on the name. But let's move from that to first-time home buyers. I thought we'd take a look at them this morning. And when you talk about, Dan, listening being such a key feature, I mean, you get a first-time home buyer and it's all new, and the listening is so important. But then again, sometimes maybe a little more guidance on that, because sometimes you have ideas as a first-time home buyer, and would you agree they need to be reined in a little bit.
I absolutely agree. There's so many different ways that when people start to look at for the very first time, they get excited and they start to do some independent research. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll go on to a pre-qualifying mortgage website, and they plug in a very simple number of what they make per year, and that's what they think that they can get for a mortgage, or they spit out a number for what they can qualify for a mortgage. So they immediately go and start looking in that price range. We know that there's more to it than just plugging in your income. So before we go out with our first-time buyers, this is the guiding part, is sitting down and really doing a real pre-qualification too. And then even if they do qualify for a higher end mortgage, like, you know, mm-hmm. this is their first time, we want to make sure that they're not house rich and money poor, that they have a comfortable life. You don't want to sit in your home and not be able to have a barbecue or a beer because all your money is going to your mortgage payment.
Yeah, absolutely. And we live in such a culture too, where we come home at the end of a long day, have supper, maybe we turn the television on and see all these real estate shows and flipping shows, and my goodness, the message is we need these fine finishes. We need this stainless steel and granite and everything else, and that can get us in a whole pile of trouble fast. Dan, what do you think some of the most important things are? Obviously, you mentioned the financing and getting properly pre-qualified. Now, here's a point, and this has come up on our show before, but it's such an important point. It doesn't hurt for it to come up every now and again. And what, I mean, I've seen people, I've had people working with people that have assured me they've been pre-qualified with their bank, and everything's okay, Dale. And we go out, we look, and we find out when we put in an offer, oops, they're not really fully qualified. When you say pre-qualified, what are those aspects? If you're a first-time home buyer or any buyer, if this isn't coming up in a pre-qualification, what are those, if this isn't coming up, we should be concerned whether we're fully qualified or not?
Well, the amount of debt that our buyers are carrying. Mm-hmm. There could be some past blimps or blemishes on their credit bureaus that we should be looking to maybe clear up, that would help them get a better rate or a higher mortgage. Those types of things I think are crucial, and that's part of our guiding and really sitting down and going through the whole pre-qualification, and that really is in depth. And my mortgage agent is very thorough, and mm-hmm. We've had lots of people who are very excited about putting in offers on the very first property that they see.
Yes.
And we just put the binders on and say, look, let's just sit down and talk about this before we go through this process.
Yeah.
And we talk about the whole thing. You know, some people say, well, that's the house I want, and it's at the higher end of, they're a young couple with no children, and this is a four-bedroom home. Are you overbuying? You know, mm-hmm. is this really the right place? Or is it a young couple that's looking at a rural property that is 20 minutes away from any amenities? And are they going to be starting a family? Are they going to be running 20 minutes three, four times a week into town? Is that the right move for them? So we bring up those things. Those are part of that pre-qualifying process.
Right. And I find young people, there's a bit of a romance to that rural living. And you know what? Some people, that's just really for them. Rural life is for them. But then sometimes you get these young people who grew up in a town, in a city, and they're lured out to that rural property, and we pretty much know they're not going to stay there forever. What do you see this sort of thing happening a lot?
We do see it. Yeah. I think when we start to ask those questions about where are you going to be in 5 years in your life experience, and when they start to think about it, sometimes they come to the realization themselves that we were planning on having kids, over the next couple of years. Does that make sense for them to be out there, or maybe they have young children now, and are your kids going to be involved in any extracurricular, whether it's sports or music? And are you willing, or do you have the resources to make sure that you can get your children in and out? And that eats up a lot of your time.
So, yeah, and then if you're asking those questions in June, July, when the roads are beautiful, or if you're asking those questions to your buyer in January, February, when the roads are treacherous, I mean, so much to think about, right? It could be easy to say in June, July, oh, yeah, we'll have no problem taxiing our kids four or five times a week into the nearest town, when if they were asked the same questions in the winter, totally different story. Another thing, I mean, is taking on projects. Does a first-time home buyer buy something that needs a bit of love? Or are they getting into something that just turnkey? Do you find, Dan, that the first-time home buyers nowadays, this generation, that they're gravitating more to the turnkey or to the house that needs a little work? What are you finding?
I'm finding that it's absolutely turnkey. Yeah. Less and less young people really want to get into the renovating. They would rather pay more money for a home and have less work to do. That's my experience, and I think that would be fairly common within the marketplace as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and which is so, I think you'd likely agree, so different than when we first got into the housing market. I mean, myself, I wasn't handy at all. I didn't help Dad much growing up. I had my own things to do. Yet when I was looking at the housing market, I started thinking, hey, I could get something at a great price, do a little fixing up, increase the value of the place, and I wasn't afraid to learn. But same as you, I'm finding that the younger couples are saying, oh, this is already even painted. I don't have to paint. I mean, they're just saying I can set up my set of drums, and I can just start drumming or whatever they like to do.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I agree with you. I think that's just the way of the world right now.
Yeah. Well, folks, we are going to take another small break. You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM. Truly local radio. Join Dan and myself after this break, and we will continue to talk about some of the details that first-time home buyers should be aware of, and some of the programs that are available to help a first-time home buyer. Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM Reality Realty, and I'm Dale Bryant. I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty. And my guest this morning is Dan Bulger. Dan is broker of record with Realty Executives Pentel Limited right here in Cobourg. Well, folks, we've been talking a little bit about the first-time home buyer and some of the special concerns that they would have above and beyond what the concerns would be of a person who's already bought and sold a home. And Dan, I have an interesting thought here about the first-time home buyer, and that is the dynamics of having that third party involved in the purchase. And that third party being mom, dad, a friend, or other family member, someone that's going to give these new home buyers an extra set of eyes or two and some advice from experience. What has been your experience, or what's your advice to first-time home buyers bringing in that third party?
I think my advice would be if you're going to ask your parents to be involved, do it right from the beginning and not, and don't bring them in at the last minute after we've researched and looked at many different homes for you. I would suggest, and what that I think does as well, if you're bringing them in early, the parents can get a comfort with you as a realtor as well. And you can really put out there your expertise, your knowledge, and your concerns about each of those properties. So when it does come time to put that offer in, there will be a lot more comfort and less opposition or protecting of their children. I think they'll be right on board.
Exactly. And when we took a look at snapshot of today's residential real estate market, and we saw that over the past year, the average sale price of a residential home here in Northumberland County was $303,000. So for mom and dad to, or your friend to come in at the end, and I mean, they know they're being brought in as an extra set of eyes, some good counsel, and they're really looking out for that buyer's interest. And yet they don't have any idea how far, say, $303,000 goes, unless they've been buying in that same price band recently. So a natural tendency for that person to come in and say, okay, yeah, I see some merit here, but really, is that all you get for, you know, $250,000 or whatever? And it's almost like the process has to start over.
You're right.
Now that they're involved, yeah.
Yes, you're right. So it is important. If they do have counsel that they want to use, get them involved early. And I think then that the process will be a lot smoother. And then they can come along that continuum as well to understand what those values are out there. You know, they're seeing and they're saying, hey, and so they can be an advocate as well at the end.
Yeah, and they can say, wow, this is the best place we've seen in this price band you're looking at. Another thing is when that mom or dad or friend come in, there's a lot of pressure on their shoulders because I think, not always, but often, I think sometimes they feel as though not only do they have to be the realtor and determine market value, but they have to be the on-the-spot home inspector. And there's likely a number of other hats because, you know, it's somebody that has a close relationship with this potential buyer or, you know, actually even loves the buyer. And that can be awkward as well when they're trying to wear so many hats that they just never wear.
You're right. Yeah. And I mean, I think every parent, if it's a parent involved, that ultimately they want to protect their children. And I don't mind that at all. I think there's, I really feel better, especially when they're younger buyers, mm-hmm. that they're getting some counsel. But we just go back to, hey, get them involved early. And I know that they want to be everything, a little bit like you were just saying, you know, whole home inspector, financial
advisor. Yes.
Location, you know, is this the right location, that type of thing. But I really think that realtors who engage those third parties, mm-hmm. and involve them somewhat in the process. Now, ultimately, it is, of course, the buyer's decision. But getting them involved really, really will help you as a realtor complete that transaction.
Yes. And I mean, not everybody wants that third party in there. I deal with some first-time home buyers that they're just going to do it all on their own. And all on their own isn't on their own. They do have, if they have a good realtor, their realtor is looking out for their best interests. You would hope they'd have a home inspection. And that home inspector is hopefully doing a good job to let them know what that house is all about. Their mortgage broker, mortgage agent, you know, hopefully they're getting good counsel on that, especially, and it makes me think a little after the fact, but we were talking about the mortgages, not only at these rates we see today, these amazing rates, which have been around for a while, but, you know, thinking about, well, if I'm taking out a 5-year mortgage term and it's so low today, it's under 3%, would I be able to renew at possibly 5% in 5 years? I mean, could they be low in 5 years still? Maybe, and I hope so, but but my goodness, the lender, the people with the money, they've been wanting the rates to go up for a while, and I'm sure as soon as the economy will allow it, they're heading up.
You're right. You're right. So when we're counseling our first-time buyers, we really try to stress that looking at historical data in terms of mortgage rates, that we are at an all-time low, and that we try to prepare our clients, saying, look, if at all possible, we're going to get you a lot of prepayment privileges. Take advantage of those. So when it is time to renew, and when those interest rates rise, and they will, that you are in a better position because you have paid down so much of the principal and of the interest, so that if the rates are up, you're in a similar situation in terms of monthly payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, plan ahead, and there'll be no surprises. I mean, that surprise, if you go to renew and you just can't afford your home, that's an awful surprise. Awful surprise. So talking about money, there's a few plans that are available to first-time home buyers. One of the plans, Dan, is the first-time home buyers plan with the withdrawal limit on the RRSP savings. Do you have much experience with that? And what can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I'm finding less and less people actually going that route, but we have had experience with it. Using that, because I guess what you have to look at is by withdrawing the money from your RRSP, what is it earning today? Mm-hmm. You can actually set the rate that you pay it back at. So if you are in that position, it's a great tool. It's a great tool. So that when you pay that back, you can set the rate that you want to pay yourself. So it's a fantastic tool, and I wish more people would take advantage of that. As long as they're not waiting till the last minute to pay it back, they should get right back into that, and so that they're protected long-term wealth.
Make it as disciplined as if you were borrowing it from a lender. And we got a limit. I believe the limit's $25,000 now for that home buyer's plan. Another plan that's out there, there's a first-time home buyer tax credit. Do you have any information? Are you aware of any information on that, Dan?
Well, of course, one of the tax credits is, of course, for a first-time buyer is getting a portion of the land transfer tax back. And I think that's a great advantage, because that can, I mean, I think the upper limit's $2,000. That can be, that's a couple of months' mortgage payments, and that's a real help and a real boost for first-time buyers. So They have streamlined how to work that out. I know in the past there was a lot of paperwork, and there was a delay by 6 to 8 weeks when you'd get that refund tax credit. But now it's automatic on the closing, which is great.
Absolutely. So if you're a first-time home buyer, there are programs out there for you. Definitely take advantage of them. I mean, the RRSP one, that only applies if you've been able to put away money in an RRSP. There's definitely a lot of merit to talking to your lender, your mortgage broker, your mortgage agent. Get some good counsel there, so they can talk to you about situations that will come up. You might not know they're going to come up, but the rules in that industry have changed so much over the past few years. And it's hard to be aware of all of it. You may have heard something on the news, but that might have been 2 years ago. And why in the world would you remember it if you weren't in the market for a home at that time? Find yourself a good realtor. Find yourself, as Dan's saying, someone who listens to your needs. And in response to that, if you're a first-time home buyer, find someone who's also willing to almost give you that third-party, that mom and dad advice and look out for you. You definitely will get a sense, I believe, if that realtor is looking out for your best interests or just trying to get the quickest sale. And sadly, maybe not in our community, but I'm sure they exist out there somewhere, Dan.
They're out there, but in Northumberland County, we have a lot of great realtors.
We have a great group of realtors, absolutely. And talk to your realtor about if you're looking at a future sale or purchase coming up. Talk to your local realtor, get an idea about values. Well, Dan, we're nearing the end of another show. And I'd like to thank you for being here. I found it very interesting learning about realty executives because I know they're out there. I've certainly seen them, but I didn't know the details about them. Thank you for that, and thank you for the information on first-time homebuyers.
Hey, Dale, thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you know what, Dan? And I'm not just saying this, we got some really good feedback after the last time you were on there. And I know I've tried to get you on since then, but it's been busy. And it was busier than I realized because you were doing this switch as well. Yeah. So, thank you so much. And Dan, can you remind the listeners where you're located and what is the best way for someone to contact you if they're interested in buying or selling?
Well, we are still at 541 William Street in Coburg, and that's in the Pentel Plaza. Best way to contact us, our phone number is 905-372-2211, or you can contact us through our website, realtyexecutivespentel.com, and you can contact me personally, D. Bolger at realtyexecutivespentel.com.
Well, thank you, Dan. And to our listeners, if you have any questions or comments about today's show or pertaining to any real estate, feel free to contact me by emailing Dale at dalebryant.ca or call into the station at 905-372-2391. Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage ProLiance Realty Brokerage, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. For Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.